All right, we're in Exodus chapter number 20 tonight. I don't know if I said that or not. Brother Brian asked me to review down in the prayer room, and so we're gonna review just a little bit. Here's what we started talking about this morning, that Jesus is not only our Savior, but He's our Lord. He's our Lord. We read several scriptures. I don't need to go back and read those. But then we went over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and chapter 7, and we found out this, that we are His property. Where's property? We've been bought with a price. We really don't belong to ourselves. We really, if we're really right, we realize that we belong to Him. Now, if we belong to Him and we're His property and He's the Lord, then it seems obvious to me that we ought to be yielded to His commands. That seems obvious to me. And so we started talking about chapter 20. And here's what we said about chapter 20 in just a nutshell. We said now that God has delivered the Israelites from Egypt. He's brought them out of Egypt. He has saved them. He is their Savior. Now He's going to attempt. That's the wrong terminology. Now He wants to manifest His Lordship to them. Now, let me say this to all believers. You have a Lord. You may not acknowledge Him as Lord, but He's still your Lord. That's how it is. And you cannot have a Savior and not have a Lord. That's why folks that want to hold on to their sins, they're not ready to be saved because they don't want a Lord in their life. And I don't want to go into all of that and get started on that. But here's where we came to. We started talking about the commandments, the moral law. I should have made this more clear this morning. As we talk about the law in these messages anyway, I'm talking about the moral law. I'm not talking about the ceremonial law or the civil law or the dietary law or anything. I'm just talking about the commandments for a little bit. And we said this, the commandments reflect God's character of holiness. The law, I read to you in Romans, the law is holy. And if the law is holy and God is holy and God wants us to be like Him, then it would seem it might be proper for us to make the commandments part of our life. And so we said that. And then I went as far just to say it, that the law or the commandments have authority for us today. And really, if you were to disagree with me, I could just go to the New Testament and pick out truths that would match up to that. But these Ten Commandments, the moral law holds true because God doesn't change. Now, if these Ten Commandments are a picture of God's character of holiness, and He doesn't change, and we're to be like Him even today as they were back then you and I should adhere to these commands. And I think that goes without saying. And so we said too, the commandments were for the saved. Israel had already been delivered when the commandments came. Really what this comes down to, God is attempting to govern His people. And then the fourth thing we said, the commandments is a roadmap to right living. To right living. Now, I understand there's much that they don't address, but what they do address is right. It's right. It's right for us. And so, and I made this statement, and I know some of you probably swallowed hard on this, and I did too at first. But I think the cross frees us from the law's. I know the cross frees us from the law's condemnation, but it doesn't the obligations of the moral law. It doesn't free us from that. And so we said a lot of things this morning. And what this law is about, it puts up boundaries or fences to keep us within the confines of holiness. It keeps us from trespassing from holy ground into sin. And God's people are to live within our Lord's confinements upon our life. Are we all together on that? You don't just get to live any way you want to live and be right with God. Now, it is your choice. Joshua told them, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Now, and now, as we say that, we'll look in a minute. I'll get ahead of myself if I'm not careful. But we are to worship and serve the Lord. Now, you don't have to yield. He is a Lord that doesn't make you do what He wants you to do. He's a different Lord than a lot of lords. He's a good Lord. If I could say it like this, He's a gentleman Lord. He allows you to decide. And so, and I don't think I said this morning, but every one of you have a Lord on the throne of your heart. Every one of you. I don't know who your Lord is. Maybe yourself. It could be you. You might be your Lord. And what your Lord, what you tell yourself, what you do. It could be, I don't want to start through all of them. It could be somebody. I know people that will not accept the truths of the Word of God because they put more confidence in some false teaching of man because it's their family or their relatives or some of my people are like that. They have been raised a particular way. I had one of them tell me that. That's how I've been raised and I'm not changing. And I was just listening to him, and really what he's saying, I don't care what the Bible says, I'm going to do what Papaw told me to do. Now really what he's done, he's made a Lord out of Papaw. Made a God out of Papaw. A lot of people have. And the traditions of men are a very difficult thing to get past in life. It's a really hard thing. Had a fellow just tell me just recently, I was telling him he's struggling with eternal security. And he said this, it's hard to believe that I've been wrong all my life. And he really, I'm convinced he doesn't think he's wrong. He was letting me know that he just doesn't believe he's been wrong. He would not. I showed him in the Word of God, and I know there's folks can twist and bend on the Word of God. I understand that. We deal with those folks are out there, and we deal with them. But we can make a lot of things Lord in our heart, and that's probably where I'm headed tonight. By the way, that's a common thing for God's people. I'll just give you one example. Let's look in 2 Kings chapter 17 real quick. Hold your place. I'm not going to flip tonight, but one time I don't think. In 17 and verse 41. I think this is about as plain a verse as we can come up with. So these nations feared the Lord and served their graven images, both their children and their children's children, as did their fathers, so do they unto this day. Now there is a group of people who actually feared the Lord, Jehovah God. They feared Him. But they served their graven images. Now I read you that verse for this reason, to let you know it's a fleshly, natural tendency for us to have multiple gods in our life. We're getting ready to look at the first commandment here in just a minute. There is a tendency for you to want to serve God, but make a god out of something else in your life. In fact, sitting in this room, there may be people with two or three gods in their life. That's a possibility. And so, I think as we come to this text tonight, and I said this, the first four commands deal with our relationship to God. And the fifth command deals with our relationship to family, specifically father and mother, and then the rest deal with our relationship with man. And so we need to get that right priority, if I could say it that way. We have to get right with God first and foremost. You can be right with me, but if you're not right with God, you're not right. He's our Lord. He's the one who gives the orders, puts the boundaries up to protect us from sin and keep us being holy. And He wants us holy because He wants us like Him. And so, having said that, that brings us to this first command. The first command says this, Thou, verse 2, I am the Lord thy God. He just let that be known right up front. I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou, verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. No other gods. In other words, I think what he's saying, he's looking at his position in our life. He's looking at the priorities of our life. And he's saying, let me read it to you again. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That doesn't mean behind him. That doesn't mean that God is first and then you have a little god back here and a little god back here and a little god back here and a little god back here. That's not what he's saying. If you were to look at that and analyze that and look at that phrase, thou shalt have the phrase before me, it carries the idea of having no gods before his eyes. And can I say we are to have one God in our life? And I want to just read you a few things. What are we to do with our God? What's your responsibility to your God? I told you wrong. We're going to look in Matthew 4. Turn with me to Matthew 4 a minute before we really settle in. Now here's Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. And here's what the devil comes to him and says to him, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. I want you to notice that phrase, fall down. That struck me odd. I never had really picked up on that till just recently. If thou wilt fall down and worship me. A position, the devil wanted our Lord in a position before he worshiped. Maybe that tells us something about worship. Then in verse number 10, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. We see two purposes, two objects in relation to our God that we are to perform. Number one, we are to worship our God, and we are to serve our God. We worship and we work for our God. Would y'all agree with that? I mean, it seems to be the goal and the purpose for having a God. And so, we're to have one God. Well, then the question comes up, what is worship? Now, I say this sometimes when we're praising the Lord, I'm calling that worship. There are people who would say to you, the pastor's wrong. Worship is internal and praise is external. Now, I'm going to tell you what I think. I think praise is an extension of internal worship that's manifested outwardly. I think praise is part of worship. I think it just gets stirring inside and it gets going and it has to come out. I think many times praise is an extension and a part of godly worship. Now let me just leave that with you. But what is worship? What does it mean? Some say this, to declare His worthiness. To declare His worthiness. Is that worship? It's such an unusual definition, but look in the Strong's, I just like, the older I get, I like to see the root word, kindly see what was meant, and then look how it's being used. Here's what it says about worship in the Strong's Concordance. It means to kiss. To kiss. It's like a dog licking his master's hand. That hit me odd when I read that. It says to fawn or crouch to. That is literally or figuratively to prostrate oneself in homage. Or that word carries the idea of reverence or adoration. Here's the way I like to say worship. Worship is taking our place at Jesus' feet and reverencing and adoring and praising Him and exalting Him and thanking Him and paying adoration to Him. How? Directly, one-on-one. That's worship. I think worship primarily is personal. It's when just you and God are talking and you're saying to God, thank You for being so good to me. You're such a good God to me. My, You've looked after me, and I thank You for the blessings of life. I thank You for health. I thank You for strength. I think that's worshiping God. I think that's what that is. I'm convinced that that's a big part of worship. Just you. Just bragging, adoring, loving on, exalting, uplifting our precious Savior. I believe that. Now, you might ask me this, why are you spending all the time on worship? Because that's what we do. If we do what we're supposed to, that's what we do for our Lord or our God. That's what we're supposed to do. Now, when I look at that, I think about this. That can also be positive or be a means of us determining if we have other gods in our life. Here's what I'd like to ask you. Do you have another God in your life? Is there something you worship? Is there something you serve? Is there anyone or anything that you just abnormally love? Is there anyone or anyone that anything or anyone that you would lay down your life to and submit to its demands on your life? Who or what do you submit to its demands? Is there anyone or anything that you willingly and with joy sing praises to, that you talk about, that you love willingly? You just love it. And you love it so much you can't hardly quit talking about it. It may be you have a God in your life other than the true and living God. It may be. Now you say, why is that important? Because God told us just have one God in your life. And it's a natural tendency of the flesh to have multiple gods in your life. And you and I need to have a means of evaluating to see if we do have multiple gods in our life. We know this, we're to love God, but we're to love our neighbors ourselves. Now is our neighbor a God? No, I don't think so. But I think it's when we give that love, we give that service, we give that worship, and we want to do it. And we want to do it more than what we should. And we're more about that than we are about the things of God. You see, you can't serve two masters. You can't do it. I don't know who we're all serving, but we're all serving somebody. Maybe serving yourself. You may be serving the dollar bill. And when I start that, it's like I want to just make a big long list for everybody. But I'll just let the Holy Ghost speak to your heart. Who are you serving? What do you really love? Deep in your heart where nobody can see, what do you love? And when you do love your neighbor and when you do love your family, does it take precedence over the love of the Lord, the true and living God? And if it does, maybe you have a God in your life, you see. And if you have another God in your life, you're not right with God. You have crossed the boundary that God has set for your life, and you're sinning against God, and you must deal with that, don't you see? Well, I just want to mention some things to you. You might have a God if there's something in your life, if it was removed, it would bring you great sadness. It'd bring you great sadness. Is there anything, if it was taken out of your life, I'm not talking about your family that you love, but something in your life that if it was to be taken from you, it would grieve your heart. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's a God to you, but it could mean that. It could have that meaning. Not necessarily. You know as well as I do when we lose a family member, and I'm talking about one that's not, we've not made a God out of them, it still grieves our heart. There's things that grieve our heart, but it very well could be some things that if they were taken out of your life, would bring great grief to your life. It may be that's a God in your life. You need to ask the Lord about that. There may be something in your life that really receives top priority. Top priority. You give it undue admiration and affection. You give it first place. I mean, if it comes down to this little God saying, here's what I want you to do, and the true and living God saying, this is what I want you to do, if you're not careful, you'll go with this instead of what God says. In fact, that indicates you may love that more than God. What do you love more than God? What would cause you to choose? Is there anything in your life that would cause you to choose against God and against the Word of God? Anything. I'm just asking ask him that. Let me ask you this. Is there anything that rules you besides the Word of God? It tells you what to do. It says, you be here at this time and you go. I'm not talking about your job. Don't run me in the ditch on that. Understand what I'm saying when I say that. Is there anybody that whatever they say, that's gospel to you? No matter what the Word of God says. What rules your life? Does the Word of God rule you? I think those are fair questions I'm asking. I think that's right. I'll tell you what I think. I think a lot of God's people's like Israel. They're trying to serve God with other little idols in their life. Other little gods in their life. And here's what God said. I only want you to have one God, and that's me. I'm afraid we're missing the mark. We elevate everything above. It's what Brother Jimmy said. We falsely convince ourselves that we're right in serving God, but we have other gods in our life. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. Is there anything in your life, and the fact of the matter is, more and more it dominates you. More and more it's stealing your love and your affections. It's become a diversion. It's become a distraction to your worship. It's become a hindrance in you serving God. What really hinders you from being all you can be for God? Is there anything that's a hindrance? And it's getting a greater grip and a greater grip. And a greater grip. I see it with young people. I'm going to tell you young people something. Stay away from them video games. Leave them alone. You know what it does? It's a rattlesnake. You can't control it. What it'll do, you'll think you're in control, and you're in control, and in control, and then one day it owns you. That's right. Be careful about that. Is there anything that it... More and more it dominates your affections and becomes a real diversion and a distraction in your worship. Or maybe even becomes an alternative to worshiping the Lord. How many gods? Do you really think God's people, a lot of God's people, have little gods in their life and pretend that they're serving God? You have to believe that. You can't look around and not believe that. You know that's so. Here's what that first commandment says. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. No other gods. Now, if we want to be holy, we have to keep those gods out of our lives. Now, what are some? You think our plan? You think we have mental gods? You think there's Christians spend more time planning their future than they do worshiping the Lord, thinking on Him, meditating on Him? I'll guarantee you there is. All they do is think about what they're going to do next and where they're going, and all the plans of life that they have. And never think about the Lord. Our ambitions, I think, sometimes can be a god to us. I think people can be gods to us. If you're not careful, you can worship your spiritual hero more than you worship God. There was a time, and maybe I ought not say this, but there was a spiritual influence in my life that had a greater influence than the Word of God had. I was just a kid, but that is a fact. Here's what I thought. What they said was gospel without me ever checking the Word of God about the matter. Amen. That's real close to being a god in my life. Real close. Your spiritual leader. I've seen folks make their children, their gods. Thought more of them. Y'all love your children. Y'all love God supremely. I'd show you that from the Word of God. We make human gods out of the coach. If the coach says we're going to play on Sunday, and God says forsake not to assemble our house together, and you play on Sunday, the coach is your God. That's how it is. And put in anything. That's just what comes to me. The opening season on Sunday. You go to opening season on Sunday and forsake the house of God, there's a good chance that's your God. And you could just go on and on. Here's what I want to ask you tonight. This is just my little thought, not getting as far as I ought to. Do you have any gods in your life? If you'd just be honest, just us, it's a natural tendency too. Fact of the matter, it's not ashamed if you do, but it's a shame if you don't repent when you find out you do. It's a shame if you don't do that. Here's what I'm asking you. Who is your God? Has anything stolen your love, your admiration, your worship? Has anything got a hold of you? Has anything become a God in your life? Here's what he said, to have one God. Now you say this, well, preacher, if I do have, what do I do? How do I deal with that? Now, I can tell you, I'm a man of extremes. I think most preachers are. Whatever they do, they do it. I mean, it's all or nothing. Brother Dre says he has the same problem. First of all, we have to realize with the help of the Lord whether we have gods in our lives. And see, good things can become gods. That's the sad thing of it. Is there anything wrong with fishing? Is there anything wrong with fishing on Sunday? Something good can be used wrongly. And then it becomes a god in our life if it takes precedence over the Lord, you see. Here's what I think we have to do. When we realize our love is beginning to grow in our affection, and it's beginning to come between us and the Lord, and our Bible reading, and our praying, and whatever else is there, we have to cut that relationship off. Isn't that right? You have to say, with the help of the Lord, I'm loving Him. You have to make a conscious choice. I told you this. Choosing whom you're going to serve is your choice. And when you find that taking over in your life, or you realize it has taken over, and you have made a little God out of that, here's what I think we have to do. We have to cut it loose. Did you know I love to fish? I'd love to have all them. I'd love to have a nice boat, and when crappie season comes around, just live on the lake for 2 or 3 weeks and try. But I can't. You know why? It will get a hold of me. I have to leave it alone. There's things I have to distance myself from it. Why? So I do not make a god out of it in my life. And in your life, it may not be fishing. It may not be video games. It may not be Little League. It may not be this. It may not be that. But there may be something that's trying to take over and be a god in your life. And when the Holy Spirit shows that to you, you have a responsibility to cut it out of your life. Now, I'm telling it right. I am telling it right. Now, why should you do that? You say, preacher, it brings joy to my life. Because our Lord, He said, I am the Lord thy God. our Lord said this. He said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. In other words, no other gods in my sight but me. And so this evening, we'll pick up on a couple more a little later on. But this evening, here's what I ask you. Do you have something that's trying to take over in your life? Maybe it's not there yet, but more and more it's getting your heart, it's getting your love, and it's getting your admiration, and it's getting your time and your energy. And it's really the fact of the matter is you're serving it some way with your life. Just wonder. It's a common thing. It's all through the Word of God you see that. And here's what I'm saying. If it's common there, man hasn't changed. We still have that tendency. And so here's my question to you. Has the Holy Ghost, has He penned anything in your life that you need that is slowly becoming a god, or maybe has become a god? Is there anything that you need to cut out, break away from? Let's bow our heads this evening. I'm going to ask somebody to get on the piano and play for us. And if God's spoken to your heart, be honest enough to do business with Him.